Genesis chapter 18 as we go through. Let's see what the Lord has for us this morning here. It says, and the Lord appeared unto him, unto Abram, unto this man who's righteous, that the Lord says is righteous because of his belief, his trust in who the Lord is. He appears to him in the plains of Mamre, in this place, in Mamre means fatness. So he's coming to him in this place of richness, this place of supply, the nourishment, however you would look at it here. He appears to him. And remember, Abram has separated himself from Lot. Lot's gone into Sodom and ministering there, although not well, not much that we see, but the Lord calls him righteous, so we know he's doing a work there, and the Lord's with him. But the Lord then comes to Abram here in Mamre, here in this place that's away from the cities, away from all the noise and confusion. He's in that place of meeting with Abram. And sometimes we have to get away, don't we, and just let the Lord minister to our hearts in the midst of quietness rather than in the midst of busyness. And it's so good to take that time just to get away and just to be settled before the Lord so he can speak to your heart every day. And it says that he appears to him as he sat in the tent door of the heat of the day, and he lift up his eyes and looks. So it's almost like he's got this anticipation that something's going to happen. He's in the tent door. He's just sitting there in the heat of the day, just being as cool as he can, but in that place of looking, that the Lord is going to do something in my life. Whether it's today, he always is doing something, isn't he? And we should always be looking, Lord, what are you doing in my life today? Are you in the midst of my confusion? Are you in the midst of my trouble? Are you in the midst of my upsetness? Are you in the midst of my problems today? Are you in the midst of my joys today, Lord? He wants to be in the midst of all those things, but it says that Abram lifted up his eyes and he looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself to the ground. He puts himself in this place of worship, in this place of being a servant, bowing to his master. And we realize that there was no rebuke of that, so we know that one of them is just a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Jesus and two angels, because an angel never receives worship. Remember John in Revelation, when John bowed down, the angel said, no, you don't bow before me, you only bow before one. And so we know as he accepts it, the only one that is going to accept the worship is the one that's worthy of that worship, and that's Jesus. And so they come. But isn't it interesting in verse 2 there that Abram runs to meet him? I have to remind you that the previous chapter tells us that he's 99 years old. I don't know about you, but running is not part of the program anymore. Walking maybe for some of us, you know, rolling our wheelchairs. Maybe that's all the exercise we get. But he gets up and he runs to them. Amazing, isn't it? But for me, you just look at it a little deeper. And Lord, do I run to your word in the morning for my devotions? Do I run to you and look to you with the problems, with the joys that come into my life each and every day? Do I come before you as quick as I can and let you minister to me in that place? And do I bow before you because you're worthy? I don't look at you and say, Lord, I bet you you're glad that I'm here this morning reading your word because you know how good I am. That is not it. That's not the heart that the Lord wants to see. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows how desperately wicked we are and how much we need him. And we need him whether things are good or whether things are bad. And so he runs to meet them from the tent door and bows himself to the ground in the heat of the day. It didn't matter how hot it was, didn't matter how cool it was, he was going to meet the Lord. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. He sees them walking, and you almost get the sense that they're walking through, and he's inviting them to come and sit with him. Lord, please take the time. Remember the two men that were on the road to Emmaus after the Lord's crucifixion and resurrection? And they were just walking through, and Jesus meets them and walks with them, and they were going to stop for an evening meal, and Jesus made as though he was going to keep going. But they stopped him and invited him to stay. And it was when they invited him to stay that they got revelation of who he really was. Mm. Invite him in. Invite him to spend time with your day. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. He said, let me get a little water. And the lowest of the servants was the one who washed the feet from the dust, from the dirt of the day. And he said, let me go and do that. Oh, Abraham, this great man, remember, he's got at least 318 armed servants. Remember, he went and rescued Lot and the other people from the cities when the five kings came through and took everybody out of the cities. He took his men and went and got them and brought them back. So he's got at least 318 servants that are armed, not counting the servants watching over his flocks and his sheep and his cattle and whatever else he had. He has a lot of people with him. And yet he says, I want to do this for you, Lord, because I'm not worthy. Mm. Let a little water be fetched and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Take some time and get refreshed. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. And after that ye shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant. And they said, so do as you have said. I know you're on a mission. I know things are happening, but take some time with me in the midst of this. So Abraham hasted into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. Even though it's a hot day, Sarah, cooking time. As he gets the whole family involved in blessing the Lord. Great look at what a family should be, huh? And Abraham ran to the herd. Not only does he run to the Lord, but then he's out and he's running into the herd to fetch a calf tender and good, and gave it to a young man, and he hasted to dress it. So everything is done quickly here because the Lord is present. Done quickly to get things ready to meet with him. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. In the coolness of this place, in this place of meeting where communion was going to take place, he brings a meal before them. And notice it says that he stood by them. He didn't sit with them. He stood by them as a servant would, not as one who's entering in, but one who's standing by the side to serve. And that should always be our hearts. We're never too big that we can't serve somebody. Oh. To have that heart, to have Jesus' heart, because he was never too busy to stop and to serve somebody who was crying out for him, was he? As the lady comes up behind him, had an issue of blood, and just touched his garment, and he goes, whoa, somebody's here. I need to serve them. I need to minister to their hearts. And what did the disciples say? But Lord, you got a crowd around you. What do you mean somebody touched you? Somebody touched me in a way that said, I need you, Lord. I need your touch today. Come to that place where the Lord is to serve and to be ministered to, because he's going to minister to you. And when you serve, you get more blessed than you do if you're the one sitting there getting served, don't you? Serving is such a wonderful thing. It's a blessing that goes beyond anything we can get from somebody else doing it for us. It's just so sweet. When you're able to do those things with believers. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? So they know who his wife is. And isn't it interesting when the Lord comes to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day after they've sinned, you know, where are you, Adam? It's not where are you because I don't know where you are because you're hiding behind a tree. It's where is your heart right now? And he looks at Adam and says, and he responds to him, you know, well, you know, Lord, we were naked, and so we had to get dressed. And now he comes to Abram. Abram, where's your wife? I know where she is, and I know what's going on with her. That is good. That's good. I know where she is. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abram and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. That's a kind way of saying that they're all wrinkled up and ready to go. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, when she heard it, Sarah laughed within herself. Notice it, within herself, not outwardly, but within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? And my Lord being old also? With God, nothing is impossible. And we trust him for it. And are there things that we've entrusted to the Lord that he hasn't answered yet? And we're saying, well, Lord, it's past time, so it's too late for you to work. It's never too late for the Lord to work in our lives. Trust him and keep holding on that God is able and God is going to work. God, we trust you with the things that are in our lives. She laughs within herself, not even outwardly. And the Lord said unto Abram, why did Sarah laugh? Remember, Abraham laughed, but it was in a sense of realizing that the Lord was able to do it and he was going to do it. She's laughing, not believing that he's going to be able to do it. She's looking more in that sense of physical wise rather than spiritually. The Lord is going to be able to do this. She laughs within herself, and the Lord says, why did she laugh? And we think we hide things from the Lord, don't we? He knows everything that's going on. Even when we think it's within ourselves, he knows. And he wants to minister to that. He's not mad at her. He's not upset with her. But he wants her to come to that place of believing that he is able to do it, as Abraham did. So he can count it unto her for righteousness. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? And he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Hold on to that, underline it, highlight it, circle it, do something with it. Is there anything in your life that's too hard for the Lord to accomplish in your life and through your life? Well, Lord, you know how old I am. Sarah's 90 years old. How old do we have to be before we're too old for God to do something? Never too old. Is anything too hard? Well, Lord, you know I can't do this anymore, and I can't do that anymore. He said, but I have things for you to do that you don't know of right now. Sarah wasn't looking in that place of realizing that within a few months she was going to be holding a baby and carrying that baby around. Oh, and yet it wasn't too hard for the Lord to do. But Lord, I'm past my prime. He goes, your prime is my time. You know, hang on to what I'm saying, not what you think. We have things so backwards and so upside down. The Lord wants to change all of those things. When he changes your heart, when he changes your mind, when he changes your direction as you repent and turn from your sin, and he changes your direction, he wants to change everything. Our trust, our hope, our belief. God, you know my condition, my physical condition. It's not going to get any better. God, What can you do for me? And he says, my grace will be sufficient for you to take you through the times that you're in. And I'll bring you to a place where you can do things that you thought you couldn't do anymore. Is anything too hard for the Lord at the time appointed? And notice there's a time appointed for everything. There's going to be a time appointed that I'm going to return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, embarrassed because she got busted. I know you guys never do that, but I do. And said, I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh outwardly. Said, Sarah, you laughed. The Lord doesn't hold back. What he says is what he means, and it is what it is. He said, it says that she was afraid. But he said, no, you did laugh. She's astonished at this, that he could even know the inward thoughts. And sometimes we get astonished that the Lord can know even our thoughts. is he brings out scriptures to us, and we go, Lord, how did you know I needed that today? And he goes, if I know when you're laughing within yourself, I know what your heart wants and what your desires are and what your needs are. I can provide those things even if you haven't asked. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abram went with them as they got up from under the tree and went and faced toward Sodom and Gomorrah to bring them on their way. He was going to walk with them. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abram the thing which I shall do, seeing that Abram shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. This man who is going to have a blessing for all the nations that are upon the earth, the Lord says, am I going to hide anything from Abram? I'm going to show him these things. And as you look from Genesis to Revelation, you realize that God has hidden nothing from those who believe in him. He's told us what's going to happen from the beginning all the way to the very end. And he's revealed all those things to us. We, just like Abram, the Lord said, I'm not going to hide anything from my people. I'm going to show them what's going to go on in their old age. I'm going to show them what's going to go on in the future. I'm going to show them the things that are coming to pass. Certainly not every little thing, but certainly all the things that we need to know. He says, I'm not going to hide anything from my people. Aren't you glad your God doesn't hide things from you? The scriptures are wide open. His heart is wide open to give you everything that you need to know. And he doesn't hide those things from us. For I know him. And this is so cool. Not only does he know me, but I know him. I know Abram. And I know what he's going to do. I know the kind of man he is. I know the integrity that he has. I know the forthrightness that he has in his life. I know the condition of his heart. And I know what he's going to do with certain situations. I know what he's going to do, that he's going to command his children and his household after him. Not just command like a general kind of way, but this is the order of things that he's going to bring about for his family. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abram that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said to Abram, notice he's talking to Abram now, he's talking to the church, he's talking to believers, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous. There's a cry coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's a cry for help. And the Lord is always in tune for that which is called out in help. We need your help in time of need, Lord. And he calls out, and the Lord hears it. He's listening. He's paying attention. And we know how ugly our world is. We know how ugly our state is. We know how ugly our hearts are. And he's in tune to every single one of those cries. Don't think that your cries haven't been heard by the Lord. There's a cry in Sodom and Gomorrah, as awful as it is. And we think, Lord, it's just so awful. Things are going on there that shouldn't be going on. And we think it's bad now. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. It was just as bad then. And the Lord hasn't changed. He's still going to judge those things that are done in the flesh and not done in the spirit, that are done without him, thinking that they're hiding those things from him. The Lord says, because of the cry, their sin is very grievous. I'm going to go down now from my place. I'm going to go down to where they are. And sin always brings us down. It never raises us up. It always brings us down. I'm going to go down to their condition and see whether they have done according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. If not, I will know. I'm going to know everything that's going on. I'm going to come to them and minister to them in the midst of this, and just allow you, Abram, to understand that all these things are going to come to pass. And isn't it interesting? We see the condition of the world, and we know what's going to come upon the sin of the world, don't we? And how sad that is. And Abram, not indifferent to it, is going to talk to the Lord about it just like we do. Lord, you know where my kids are. You know where my grandkids are. You know the condition of their hearts. You know the condition of my family, that there's some unbelievers, Lord. If there's any righteous, will you spare? If there's righteousness, I'll spare. We can't ask the Lord to blink at sin and to overlook sin, because he's holy and just and right. And just like Abram, we intercede for those people But we aren't going to intercede to that place of trying to stop the Lord from bringing justice to a world that's fallen. Sin has to be dealt with, just like it had to be dealt with you and I. But ours, because we're believers, because we've accepted who Jesus Christ is and what he's done, our sin was blotted out on the cross. As his blood was shed, our sin was taken care of. We won't be judged for the judgment that's coming upon the sin of the world, because our judgment has already taken place on the cross. The world doesn't know that yet. And just like Abram, we're going to stand and cry out to the Lord for mercy, just as he did. But we know judgment is going to come. And that's why it's important for us to be those witnesses and those lights in this world that we're in. For our family, if we love them, we talk to them. We tell them. The unbelievers that are around us, we minister to them. We're lights to them, just as Abraham did. He's going to go down. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abram stood yet before the Lord. So the angels have left. We're going to see that in the next chapter as we deal with that, what they do in the city with Lot. So they turned their faces from thence. They went forward. So they're standing there listening. They know the time for their departure is now. And so they've turned and they've come. And isn't it interesting that Abram knows that things are going on, and then the Lord tells him exactly what it is that's going on? And don't you get that sense from the Holy Spirit sometimes that the time is near, that the time is near for his return, and how close things are to being done here in this world? Just as we read in the responsive reading that one day this earth is going to melt with fervent heat and everything that's therein. And aren't you glad we aren't going to be here for that? Thank you, Lord, that you're taking us out of it and we're away from it. So gracious to his people and so harsh on sin. He hated evil. And what does he cry out for you and I as believers? To love him and to hate evil. We don't hate the people. We hate the evil that's there encompassing them and dragging them down. And God is always going to be faithful to his word. He's coming. Judgment is going to come upon the world. Oh, how we need his heart for those that are in the midst as we cry out for them. So Abram drew near. He's right with the Lord. And yet he gets a little bit closer. To me, it's just like he turns around, looks at Jesus right in the face. Lord, we got to have a talk. Instead of you just being me following you, how about I get right in your face with this, Lord? I've got to talk to you about this because I need my heart right. I need to know about this. And are you afraid to do that sometimes, that you don't understand what the Lord is doing? You don't understand the conditions that are around you and the evil that's there and the things that are happening? And are you afraid to ask the Lord about it? I don't think the Lord's afraid to talk to us about it. Abram drew near and said, "Will you destroy the righteous also with the wicked?" Lord, what are you going to do about the righteous that are there, the righteous that are in the city? Who's he thinking about? Probably Lot. relatives, family members that I have there in that city. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will you also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Lord, are you going to destroy a whole city if there's 50 righteous people there? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Really? Abram, you're saying this to the Lord, who always does right? Who's always righteous? Abraham's really trying to get this ingrained into his heart, isn't he? Lord, I need to know about your righteousness, but I also need to know about judgment. I need to know those things so that I can have a right heart before you and with you. And as I'm standing here talking with you, I need you to minister to my heart. And Lord, this is my heart right now. If there's 50 people that are righteous, you're not going to destroy them, are you? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. If there's only 50 righteous people, I will spare the whole city. That's grace. Because we'd want to save the righteous ones, right? Well, the ones that are in church, Lord, just leave them and take care of the rest. Because we really don't care about the druggies on the street. We really don't care about the prostitutes walking around. We really don't care about those that are in the bars. We really don't care. And what are we saying? Lord, we don't care about the people that you created, that you love, that you died for. Our hearts should be broken for them because they're in sin and they don't even know. They're so deceived, they don't have a clue of what's going on. We see Utah banning the Bible from their schools. Our hearts shouldn't be mad at them. Our hearts should be interceding for them because they have no idea of the judgment that's coming, evidently. They've taken things to a place. You wonder, is there 50 righteous people in Utah? Oof. Lord, if there is, will you spare that state? Oh. And Abram answered, verse 27, and said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure. I love this. Isn't it great? He's got a fear, a sense of awe, a sense of reverence, but he's also trying to stand in the gap for those that are there. Even though he didn't want to go there, even though he didn't want Lot to go there, even though he separated himself from them, he still is interceding for them. And he tells us to separate ourselves from the things of the world, hasn't he? But he's also told us to intercede for them. As we look at what Abraham does, through Abraham, he's telling you and I want you to stand in the gap for these people. They need salvation. They need hope. And they don't have a hope. Their condition is in dire straits, and they need hope. They need help. And how quick we cry out for somebody who's hurting and who needs something, who's even just a little interested in the things of the Lord. But how much we just disdain those that want nothing to do with Jesus and that take his name in vain. We kind of hold them off at arm's length, don't we? Instead of interceding and standing in the gap. Peradventure, for the lack of 5 of the 50 righteous, will you destroy the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I won't destroy it. Amazing grace that our Lord gives. And he spake to him yet again and said, peradventure, hypothetically speaking, Lord, I love the Lord knows everything. He knows what he's going to do. He already knows what's happening. He already knows what's going on. And aren't we just like Abram? Lord, are you going to do this in my life? Lord, are you going to do that in my kid's life? Lord, are you going to do these things in the lives of our neighbors and our friends, of our coworkers? Lord, what are you going to do? Because we don't have understanding yet, do we? We always need to be learning. And as he takes us to depths, like he's taking Abraham right now, Abraham's never been in this place before where he's seen such destruction from the Lord upon people, and he needs to understand the Lord's heart in the midst of it so he can have the Lord's heart and minister in it. Peradventure, there's 40 found. I won't do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry. Lord, are you going to get mad at me if I keep coming to you? And what is he saying? I'm not going to get mad at you, Abram. Even if you go down to 5 people, I'm not going to get mad at you. That's not my nature. That's not my character. That's your nature. That's your character. That's not who I am. Abram, I want you to know me in the depths of the condition of the things that you're in right now. So deep that you know my heart in the midst of it so that you can represent me when these things come to pass. Peradventure, there be 30 found. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And then he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak to the Lord. Peradventure, doesn't it sound like some of your kids when they come to you? Dad, will you give me $1,000 so I can go out and put a down payment on the car? No. Will you give me $900? No. Dad, you know I've been really good and I made Dean's List this semester. Will you give me $500? No. Don't you find yourself doing the same thing? And your kids, you just get reminded of those things. You know, our granddaughter, Grandpa, if the hamster dies, will you get me a dog? No. No more dogs. No more cats. Will you get me another hamster? I really love you, Grandpa. Yeah, I just, oh. And I probably would, but I won't tell her that. Because I don't want one there. And don't you tell her either. And he said, peradventure there's 20 found there. And he said, I won't destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once. No, there's more coming, Abram. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The graciousness of the Lord. How big are these cities? Thousands. And yet if there's 10 righteous people, isn't it sick? You look at it on one hand and say, boy, that's a lot of grace, Lord. You look at it on the other hand, out of thousands of people, there's only 10 people that are righteous. What happened? That isn't even 1/10. That isn't even 1%. Oh boy, how many people in America are truly saved? We know the numbers, or we think we know the numbers. The world says that from their polls, they know the numbers of people that say that they're Christians. But how many really are? Are they Christian because they got baptized? Are they Christian because they're doing good stuff? Are they Christian because they haven't killed anybody? Are they Christian because they live in America and we're a Christian nation? Which, by the way, no, we're not. This is not a Christian nation anymore. We've left. We've lost. We're under judgment. Because otherwise we wouldn't see the sodomy that's going on in America. And God is going to judge the sodomy that's going on in America just as much as he judged Sodom and Gomorrah. And they can't say, God made me this way, because no, God did not make you that way. We have chosen to go that way. It is sin, and we always choose sin over righteousness. And God is going to judge it. Peradventure 10, and he said, I won't destroy it for 10's sake. And he leaves off. He stops there. And you wonder, why, Abram, would you stop at 10? I mean, if you got this thing rolling, you got this thing going, you've got them down from 50 all the way to 10, why not go to 5? Because in the city, Lot and his wife, they have 2 daughters that are married. They have 2 others that aren't. There's 10. He stops because he thinks there's 10 righteous. But how many come out of the city? He takes 4 of them out, and one of them looks back. And we'll get to that eventually, but isn't that strange that out of this whole city, he couldn't find anybody but his own family there that's righteous? And yet, how many people in those cities would say, I'm okay with the Lord. If he comes, I'm going to survive. I'm going to make it through. And what does he tell us in Scripture to make our calling and election sure, huh? I hope so. And isn't that sad when you ask somebody if they're sure they're going to heaven and they say, I hope so? No, don't say that. If you hope so, you're probably not. I know because God told me. And he tells us we can be sure of that relationship because the Holy Spirit within us is going to confirm to us that we are the children of God. And if you don't have that confirmation, make it right today. Make it right in your hearts and your lives. And the Lord went his way. And as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, that communion that was there, he leaves it off and goes. And what does Abraham do? He returns to his place. His place. He's going back to be faithful in what the Lord has given him to do in his own place. And the leadership met yesterday. You know, we try and meet here and there. Well, by law we have to, but we try and meet together just so that we can show each other how bad off we really are. And we're here, and just we want to be faithful. Certainly we don't have a huge church, but you know what? This is what the Lord has given us, and we want to be faithful to each and every one of you as much as we can. We don't want to be unfaithful because there's not 1,000 people here. We don't want to be unfaithful to the 20 that are. He said, despise not the day of small beginnings, because if you despise those, you're going to despise the big end. And we want to be faithful in all that we're doing, whether here or in our homes or wherever we are. And we want to encourage you to be just as faithful in the place that you are, because you're a light shining wherever you are. In places that we can't get to, you are. And we want to encourage you as much as we can to be lights shining where you are, because we may never get there, but you are. And so pray for us that we would be faithful, and we'll pray for you that you'll be faithful. And the Lord will meet us in the midst. Abram returned to his place. He met with him. He spoke with him. He got his answers. He got the things that he thought he needed to get off his chest, to hear what the Lord had to say and to meet with the Lord. And then he went back to being faithful in his tent. Because we see that Abram and Sarah were going to have a child. The next chapter certainly deals with Sodom and Gomorrah, and we see all that destruction, and that's a hard one to look at and to watch. But we see families being destroyed right in our own city. We see some of our own kids being destroyed because of their choices. And it breaks your heart, doesn't it, to just see them fall through the cracks when they've heard the truth, and yet they wouldn't taste and see how good God is. They wanted their fun. Just like you and I did, we certainly can't point fingers at them because we were just as bad. We were just as lost. But by having your heart broken like that, it just shows that you've got the heart of Jesus, because his heart breaks. He's not delighted in the death of sinners. His heart breaks for them because he died for them. We haven't died for him, but he did, and his heart breaks. I just love Abram, his boldness, his love for the Lord, his reverence for the Lord, and knowing who he was and that he wasn't God, but God was, and that he just wanted to serve him in every way possible, but he needed to know his heart and how to serve him in the place that he was in right then. And sometimes we enter into places, and we're in those places today. We've come in and our minds are just all over the map. We just have no clue. And yet the Lord wants to meet with us right here, right now, to show us the way. We don't have a clue, Lord, but you do. We've come in this morning, Lord, with hard hearts, and we need them softened. We've come in this morning, Lord, with hard things going on around us, with diseases and things that are going on, and we need your heart in the midst of it so that we can see you work, so that we can know your presence and just rejoice even where we are in the hardness of where we are right now. And we're going to take communion and remember that this is what God has done. So, Father, we just come to you and we put our hearts before you, Lord. You know the condition of our heart. We don't have to tell you where we are. You don't have to tell you that we've been laughing at what you've said. We don't have to tell you that our hearts haven't been in agreement with you all the way through, because you already know our hearts. But, Father, we're thankful that you're not upset with us, that you just want us to come into a right place with you. So help us to do that this morning, Lord. And if we've brought anything in, Lord, you've heard our cries. So help us to get ministered to as we sit before you, that you could just minister to us even before we take communion, to remember what you've done for us, to remember that you can take care of those situations that we brought in with us, that you can help us and minister to us and bring joy back to our lives, Lord. So help us with it. We just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.